On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I go over updates from this past week, preview the football game against Kentucky, and of course, my six-pack of picks. All right, let's do this. Okay, welcome to episode 5 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I'm your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep everything between 1801 and 2001. And let me just say, football season is just great. I mean, once Thursday rolls around, I'm just basically on autopilot. I mean, I'm in cruise control. I go into football mode. You got NFL, then a college, Sunday NFL, then Monday night. And then once Monday night ends, you only got a couple more days to start over. So just God bless football. But I mean, going over to college, I mean, even in New York here, the energy around this Gamecocks program, it's already being felt. It is really, really palpable. And you can even see on Gamecock Twitter, there's generally speaking, do I dare say, some good vibes and just overall a lot of excitement, not just for this weekend's game, but for what lies ahead in general. So, I mean, with all that being said, let's take a look back at this past week. Sports other than football updates real quick. Men's soccer, they got the W 2-1 against Mercer. Screw Mercer. And women's volleyball gets the W 3-2 over Georgia. Screw Georgia. To hell with Georgia. Great job to see the Garnet and Black taking W's all over the place already in this young season. But back over to football. A couple of big updates for y'all. I'm going to feel like, honestly, I feel like Ron Burgundy, like a news anchor with this one. But 2022 schedule was released. Yeah, 2022. Give me all the football, a double serving of football. I'm already eating my 2021 season. We got the 2022 season. We're not even four games into this. Give me all the football info. I love it. All of the football. And at first glance, it honestly looks pretty manageable. Pretty cool matchup with Georgia State. Cool to see Sean Elliott come back to Williams-Brice. And then right away, off to Arkansas. So I think it'll be fun. There's some good matchups, and I'm looking forward to it. By the way, if you do hear some sirens right now in the background, I do apologize. I live in Manhattan, and there's just never a time when there's not sirens. But hey, that's show business, baby. Also, the Troy game was announced for a 3:30 kickoff. Personally, that's my favorite time to kick off, especially as the days are getting a little shorter now. You start off under the nice shining sun in South Carolina, and then the sun starts to set as we get into the fourth quarter for a dramatic Gamecock victory. But that should be a fun one for sure. And I did want to circle back to some notes. We had updates post-Georgia game. So Sherrod Green, he had surgery. Looks like when they got back to Columbia, again, no timetable for him to return, but they do hope he can get back before the end of the season. And apparently Cam Smith, he was a little banged up, but he is apparently good to go, full practice, so full send, full go there. Also, I did want to note, Shane Beamer, he actually really owned up to the sequence which led to the safety and the field goal right at the end of the first half. And then also, Marcus Satterfield owned up to some bad situational play calling and also specifically not giving Juju McDowell some more touches. And I just want to say, I mean, that's just really nice to see some accountability, some honesty. It kind of felt like under the Muschamp regime, if you will, like it was just like a strongman mentality. Like, no, this is what we did. It was the right, like, don't question it and don't look back. And it's just nice to see, like, hey, we're going to have accountability in this building. And I think that that can go a long way. Other than that, I mean, any notes I had were for the Kentucky game. So with that being said, here's a perfect segue into the Kentucky game preview. This Saturday night in Willie B., tons of recruits in-house. I don't think electric describes what that atmosphere is going to be like. You even had Shane Beamer speaking directly to the fans and directly to the cockpit as well. It's just always so cool to see in college sports when the coaches acknowledge the students directly. I always think that's a nice touch. And He brought it up, but like I just said, there are a ton of recruits in-house. If you have a chance to look at this list, it's just honestly insane. They have 2022 guys, 2023 guys, 2024 guys. And I don't really want to dive that deep into recruiting, I don't think, with the podcast, but I am going to note that Jaden Davis, I believe he's the 2024 class, so a little out there, but he's a five-star quarterback. He's from South Carolina. You could say he is the jewel of that recruit group that's going to be there, but it's going to be a great atmosphere, and that's what the kids want to see, right? Good play will resonate. Winning the game is a nice touch, but they want to be able to look around and say, holy shit, I want to play here. This crowd is insane. So if you are able to go, listen to Coach Beamer, get there early, be loud, and really represent well. And, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just recency bias or maybe lack of recency bias, but it feels like this game has the most hype and buildup we've had in quite a while. I mean, maybe it's because this is like hope for a legitimate building block for the season and for beyond, instead of just trying to pull off a miracle upset or try to slow down a winning streak and just scrape out and save a win, which that seemed to be the Will Muschamp signature. Just somehow pull an upset out your ass and the crowd goes wild and buy yourself another year on the contract. But I don't know. It's just really exciting. Well, but with that being said, the Gamecocks, they're currently sitting, they're at a 5-point underdog. So you're a home dog, which when you do take a step back, you know, that's less than a touchdown difference, which would fall into this category of a, you know, toss-up game, as many people have put this. But anytime you're a home dog, it still kind of feels like a little bit of disrespect. But I did want to unpack that for a second. Something that I've felt for the past few years now is that it always feels like Kentucky always seems to be this big game in terms of not just, you know, how our season's going, but just kind of like where we're at. And it's always just like, but it's Kentucky. Bleh. Like, and I think that Gamecock fans, and I'm putting myself in this, we have to come to terms that Mark Stoops has made Kentucky into actually a pretty good football program. I mean, they recruit well, they develop incredibly well within their system, and they get guys to stay for a long time. I think they even had a couple seniors come back who could have tested the NFL waters, but they took advantage of the COVID year, and so they're back. But I mean, it's still fucking Kentucky. I mean, that's a basketball school. They don't have this football tradition. I've heard their atmosphere is average at best. And I mean, isn't their stadium named after a Kroger? Grocery stores. I mean, what are we doing here? So it is just a little hard to accept that Kentucky has established itself as a pretty consistent program. But it is what it is. And as Carolina starts to climb and try to get back into some of those top spots in the East, Kentucky is a program that you have to at least compete with year in and year out and eventually have to surpass them. So, I mean, we can start it with this year, but you could give Beamer a pass for his first year. But I think you got to look at the next 5 years and say, we got to get 3 out of 5 somehow. You don't have to go on a big run, but you got to establish some sort of dominance. So with that being said, what do the Gamecocks face Saturday night? Now, you can't talk about Kentucky and not bring up their running back, Chris Rodriguez. And he just kind of fits that mold of recent Kentucky players who I feel like they're good. You don't really know anything else about them, but they're just pretty good. I know he's in his junior year, and last year he was still one of the top backs in the SEC. And I think he even still missed a couple of games due to COVID. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive. And they have an experienced offensive line, and that allows him to do a lot of what he does. Now, if you have been following along in the SEC and college football, you will know that their big addition in the offseason was Penn State transfer quarterback Will Levis. Now, I actually know a little bit about Will Levis because I have a lifelong friend who went to Penn State. So whenever we talk football, we end up talking about each other's schools, and Levis was essentially their wildcat quarterback. He was super athletic, but they never really let him throw all that much because they had an established starter. Now, he's at Kentucky, and they're actually letting him throw, and so far to what I've seen, he looks pretty impressive to this point. But however, I mean, last week, Kentucky, they barely beat Chattanooga. I mean, Chattanooga was up on them, I think, in the fourth. So maybe they aren't exactly what we think they are, but I mean, who knows? Now on defense, I don't think they have a Josh Allen game changer type of pass rusher out there. I think they have experienced linebackers and safeties, and to my knowledge, their corners are young, so maybe that can open things up for Carolina's passing attack a little bit. But speaking of Carolina, you know, what do the Gamecocks need to do to handle business Saturday night? Now, I do want to say something, that although we are coming off a multiple score loss, I think facing Georgia could actually turn out to be the kick in the ass that this team uses to learn and be ready to stand toe-to-toe with Kentucky and maybe all the other teams we face. I'm kind of think of it like, it's sort of like when a baseball player puts a weight on their bat as they're warming up so that it feels lighter and they can swing a little harder when they get into the box. Maybe Carolina can say, hey, we hung in there with Georgia. We took their best shots. We never gave up, and we aren't afraid of anybody. And so with that, you can look at Kentucky and you say, all right, here's a tough team, but they are not the number two team in the country, and we can actually beat these guys. So confidence and belief is my major key number one for Carolina. Major key number two, Luke. Finally, we have our QB1 back, healthy, with a full week of practice under his belt. And also, we have a pissed off Marcus Satterfield, who hopefully is ready to open up the playbook even more than we already have. I'd like to see the Gamecocks continue to be aggressive in the passing game, trying to push it downfield, because if the strength of the Kentucky defense is in fact their linebackers, maybe we can try to get some one-on-one matchups down the field, avoid their safeties, and allow our wide receivers to make a play on a less experienced corner. Also on the offensive side, I want to see a big run. I mean, the running performance to this point, I think the yards per carry is about 4 yards. I want to see a 30-plus yard run. I don't care who it is. I just think if we can rip off a big run, not only will it juice up the whole entire team, but it will build confidence for our line, and Kentucky will have to respect that, which should free up everything else. Now, my major key number three, no surprise, but you got to find a way to slow down Chris Rodriguez. I mean, overall, Kentucky's offense, they appear to be a little bit more dynamic now since they have a quarterback who can actually throw the ball. But the name of the game in football, look, anytime you're trying to win, is you got to try to take away the one thing from your opponent that you know they need. And Kentucky needs Chris Rodriguez. Our linebackers, they've had to be rearranged a little bit because of the Sherrod Green injury, but there's still some good talent out there who I think can plug up the holes, make a play one-on-one in space should Rodriguez get past the line. And, you know, with that being said, I want to give a couple quick shout-outs. Shout-out Brad Johnson. I mean, so far this season, I felt he has played really well. He was a guy who bounced around positions a bit under Muschamp, but I think whatever it is, he has fit really well into this new system that Clayton White has, and I expect a big game from him. Also want to give a quick shout-out to Mo Kaba. I think he should see even more playing time than he already has. And all I'm going to say is if he makes a big play and that DJ inside Williams-Bryce does not play Mo Bamba, that is just the miss of all misses. Mo Bamba, Mo Bamba. I'll sing it for you, Mo. Maybe I'll get Mo on the show here. That'd be electric. But overall for the game, look, I think the spread is probably pretty appropriate in the sense that I think it's going to be a close game. I know Kentucky is 3-0, but it's not like they've played elite competition. Their best win so far was against Missouri, and like I mentioned 2 seconds ago, they barely beat Chattanooga last week. And also, this is their first road game, people. So, I mean, this could really be a rude awakening, especially for their younger players. Williams-Bryce is a pretty tough place to play regardless, but when it's a hyped-up game at night, I'll put that atmosphere against damn near any stadium in the country. So hopefully this can be that X factor, especially on defense when you're trying to slow down Chris Rodriguez and Will Levis. But I do think that with Luke Doty fully healthy, our offense can operate as it was originally designed and intended to, and we can continue to be aggressive with some big throws, and hopefully we can get that running game going a bit more than it has. So with all that being said, I think that with a packed Williams-Bryce, a fully healthy offense, and the coaching staff having learned some lessons from last week, I think Carolina can not only cover the spread, but I think they can end up on top with room to spare. So give me Carolina ends up with the W, 7 to 10 points. So again, not going to get into specifics, but that's where I like it. I think it's going to be a hard, close, annoying Carolina game where that's just how we do things. But if you can end up on top, this will send shockwaves to everybody who has Carolina on their schedule and maybe to the SEC as a whole that, hey, this is not the Carolina you've seen for the last 5 years. This is a team that can handle the moment, a team that is well-coached and disciplined enough to keep their emotions in check and live up to that moment. Because if you're trying to be top dogs in the East and even the SEC like we all want to be, like Beamer knows we can be, there's going to be plenty of primetime games, plenty of times where you might be an underdog, and you have to rise to the challenge. So I think Carolina can do it. And if they do, I think there's even better things ahead. So speaking of points, spreads, wins, and losses, let's go to my six-pack of picks. That wraps up my preview for the game. I'm really excited. Looking to the other games that's going on this weekend, look, last week, six-pack of picks, not so hot. I'm not hitting the panic button yet, but the case has been opened, but we need a good week to put that away. So looking at the ACC, I'm going UNC minus 12.5 at Georgia Tech. It looks like UNC has righted the ship the last 2 weeks. They beat UVA by, I think it was 20 or so. So look for them to continue the tread against Georgia Tech, which, you know, I know they gave Clemson a good fight, but I just don't know how good they really are. Big 12, I am addicted, I think, to Big 12 overs. Texas Tech at Texas, over 61. That game's at noon. Should be a decently fun one. Kind of cool to see Sark on the sideline. Texas Tech 3-0 sneakily, I think. So looking for some points there for sure. Big 10, Rutgers, give me plus 21 at Michigan at 3:30. The Shiano men, they play disciplined football. This is not just because I'm from Jersey. I think that Michigan has really not played great teams. Yeah, they played Washington, but I think Washington might actually kind of stink. But Rutgers, it's 3 touchdowns. I mean, that is a lot of points. Give it to me all day. Scarlet Knights in the big house. Moving over to the Pac-12. Pac-12 is just a slate of late games and whack matchups. This was I had to just go with the big dog on this one. Arizona at Oregon. Oregon minus 28. That game kicks off at 10:30. I will probably hope to have some passive income as I will probably be asleep again soon after that game kicks. But Arizona's 0-3, and they had ugly losses. They might get the official FSU treatment of just official rating of bad. On to the SEC. I mean, this game is just going to be so much fun. Texas A&M going against Arkansas. That's in Jerry World in Dallas where the Cowboys play. Give me Woo Pig Suey, Arkansas plus 4.5. I don't know anything about A&M. I know they got their backup quarterback. They fucked me with the first six-pack of picks and the lack thereof and over. But I think Arkansas, they're playing disciplined football. I think they believe. I think this could be the first real matchup A&M has. I'm not saying Arkansas is going to win, but I think that they can cover that spread. And then going to the group of five, you know, we're just going with this one. This was a gut instinct. Arkansas State at Tulsa. Give me Tulsa minus 13.5. I just think Tulsa's good. I mean, they hung with Ohio State. I think their defense is decent based on 3 games this year. And that's just what we're rolling with. So there you have it. Just another jam-packed episode. I love these preview shows. These have been a lot of fun. But don't forget to follow along on social media. My Twitter is Cox Gamecocks, so my last name and then Gamecocks. And on Instagram, it's just the name of the show. So Cox Talking Gamecocks. And of course, please like, subscribe to the pod. For those of y'all that will be in Columbia this weekend, be loud, be proud, go Cox, and I'll catch y'all next week.